Believe it or not, there are some people in our country today that are not thrilled with our president. Really. One of the complaints is that we've elected a person who has been convicted of a number of felonies. And he should be in jail rather than in the Oval Office. Well, he has been convicted of a number of felonies, but the sentencing has never produced jail time. And therefore, he is capable of being elected as president, and he has qualities, business qualities especially, that suit him for the job. Now, some people may not like his policies, but nonetheless, there he is. So if you don't like the policies, you destroy the person, or at least the reputation of the person who promotes the policies. That's how people do things. So it was with the Apostle Paul. The false teachers had come to Colossae. They did not like what Paul was teaching about the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ. And while they attacked that, the best way to do it was to attack Paul. And guess where Paul was when he was writing Colossians? He was in jail, in prison. Well, how can you have a man of God in prison? I mean, that just doesn't work. And therefore, if he's in prison, he can't be trustworthy. He can't be fit to lead the church. That was their attack on him. And Paul is going to write in the last few verses of Colossians a defense of his ministry. You have an outline there tonight, and I want to go through this. What I am going to do is I am going to put up here the text from Colossians. I am going to have you turn to a number of other passages rather than having you turn to Colossians and then make reference. I'm going to do it in reverse order. I'll make the reference up here, but have you turn. In verse 24, Paul writes, "Who," and that is a reference to himself in context, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Here we see sufferings. The sufferings of the Apostle Paul. Why was he suffering in jail? Well, number one, he was associated with Jesus Christ. That's a problem. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. And verse 40. Now, the apostles had been preaching Christ, particularly Peter and John. They were arrested by the authorities. The authorities were questioning whether they can upset this Christianity movement that was beginning. Verse 39, "But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. When they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." And the "his" there is Christ's name. They crucified Christ. Our association with Christ is that great that they're going to do the same to us. Hey, that's a good thing. Not the suffering, but the association. that they would be so much like Christ that the unsaved world would have a problem with them. And Paul is saying to the Colossians, I'm here because of my association with Jesus Christ. It's not something that is casual. It's something that is very intimate. Not only was he associated with Christ, but he was associated with the Gentiles. Turn over to Acts chapter 22. Paul is recounting his testimony of how he came to Christ and was commissioned by Christ to be an apostle. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, and here again the hymn is Jesus, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. I mean, these guys know who I once was. They're not going to make an issue with me. I was once one of them. They're not going to mistreat their own. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. I mean, there I was. I was going to great lengths to destroy this thing. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And when they gave him audience unto this word, in other words, when they heard him say, God told me to go to the Gentiles, they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. This is a scoundrel. This is the scum of the earth. We Jews are God's people. And these Gentiles are dogs. And they literally called them dogs. And by the way, dogs in first century was not Fluffy or Spot. They were wild animals. to be called a dog was to probably one of the worst insults that you could have. And as soon as he mentioned that I was going to the Gentiles, the Jews hated him. They were willing to listen to him for a while, but that blew it. But not only that, he's associated here with the church. I rejoice in my sufferings for you, fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Acts chapter 9. Beginning at verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The Lord said to Paul, you're going to suffer a lot of things. You've been persecuting my church. Now you're going to be involved in my program of building it. But it's not going to be easy. His suffering was not punitive. It was not, I'm going to get back at you. But just as Christ had to suffer in order to create the church, Paul was going to have to suffer in order to be involved in the building of the church. The world does not like the body of believers that separates itself from idolatry, which is anything other than Christianity. Now, his suffering here, this has been misunderstood by Roman Catholicism. They say, well, see, here's Paul's suffering. And it's for the benefit of the church. And what happens is when an apostle or some righteous person, a saint, suffers, they're increasing merit for everybody else. There's a treasury in heaven of merit that a person, when he sins, can have an indulgence out of which to pay for that sin. So Paul is suffering in order for the sins of you and I. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Paul suffered not in a mediatorial way. Christ suffered on the cross and he said, "It is finished." Sins are dealt with there. Paul suffered in a ministerial way. Question: how much are you willing to suffer? Let's move on before we have to answer that question. In verses 25 through 27, we see the service of the Apostle Paul. "Whereof I am made a minister," diakonos. We get our English word deacon from it. Someone has suggested that the word deacon comes from this word dia, which means through, and konos, which is the word for dust. A person who moves through life and raises the dust. A person who is involved in activity and gets things accomplished. Paul says, "I was made a deacon according to the dispensation." The Greek word there is two words put together. One is oikos, which means house, and the other is nomos, which means law. We get our English word economy from this Greek word, the law of the house. An economy is how things operate. Paul says, "I was made a minister according to the economy of God, the law of the house, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." In the Old Testament, God had a plan. The plan started out with Adam and Eve. Put you in a garden, be fruitful and multiply, keep the garden. Two commands. They blew it before they could ever fulfill one. The plan of God was never completed. Okay, now we got to take care of sin. And we get the calling of Abraham, and we get the kingdom of David and his descendants and so forth, until the fullness of time along comes Christ. When God started out, what people was he dealing with? Huh? Well, in time. Adam and Eve. What nationality were they? They weren't.
They were Edenites.
Edenites, I like that. They were the whole world. God had a whole world perspective on things. But in order to bring the Messiah in for the sins of the whole world, he had to work through a race, the Jews. But God never gave up his plan for the whole world. He's still working on it today. And Paul says, "I was made a minister to go to the Gentiles to fulfill the word of God." What God started, he once completed. And so he was commissioned by God to fulfill his word. He was commissioned by God to reveal a mystery, verse 26. "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Word mystery, musterion, is something that was not stated in the Old Testament, but now is revealed. There might be glimpses of it that you can see, but it was never fully developed, never specifically stated. And Paul says, we're bringing it to revelation now. God put me in a position, and it's going to deal with the Gentiles, as we'll see in verse 27. but to reveal this mystery, to fulfill the word which began through the Jews, but now is going to incorporate the Gentiles. He was commissioned by God to bring the hope of glory, verse 27. To whom would God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what our hope is. My hope is not I've done really well. I've done a lot of good things. My hope is I haven't murdered anybody. Or I haven't stolen anything. That's not my hope. My hope is Christ died for me. And that's my hope of glory. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now, Old Testament times, were there individual Gentiles that came to a saving faith in Jehovah God? Yes, there were. But as a group, as a ethnic group, the Gentiles were outside of the covenants that God had with Abraham. If a Gentile came to faith, they were proselytes. They were given a limited amount of access to the temple, but very, very restricted. No hope of glory.
Pastor, wasn't there a Gentile court?
Court of the Gentiles, right. Paul said, I've been commissioned by God to finish what he started, to reveal a mystery that brings hope to the Gentiles of glory. And in order to do that, he had to strive. Well, you know what? I missed a little one here. Ephesians chapter 3, move on down. Verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who was am less than the least of all saints. And this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make known to all men, see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. There's a mystery. God said, Paul says, I get the privilege of now revealing it. In order to do so, he had to strive. 5 verbs are used in this passage. First of all, he preached. Whom we preach. Kata angelo is the verb. To announce down. Literally is a translation of kata angelo. Angelo is the word we get evangelical from. To announce to people. You go out and you preach. You sound off. You speak to people. Warning. Nuthateo. To warn, to confront, to admonish, are various translations of the word. Hey, here's what God has said. I'm announcing it to you. And here are the consequences. If you do not believe this, which you have the privilege of not doing, there's consequences. We preach, we warn, and teaching every man. It's not just a declaration of facts. It's not just a turn or burn type of preaching, but it's here is the facts, teaching every man in all wisdom. God had a plan. It was a perfect plan. And if Adam and Eve hadn't messed it up, man, life would be great today. But they did. And you can see the effects of all that they did. Question, why do all people die? Wherever there is a universal effect, there must be a universal cause. Everyone, sooner or later, dies. Why is that? Well, some die of cancer, and some die of pneumonia, some die of old age. I've never heard of anyone dying of good health. Why do all people die? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's a universal effect. There's your universal cause. And all have sinned. And you're one of them. And now we start making sense out of all things. That's what wisdom is. That we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. Sin entered, death became of that. Christ died for our sins, there's the remedy, and now you can be whole again. That's the message. Wherefore I also labor. Kapio. To work to the point of exhaustion. As the years go by, that point gets closer and closer and closer. How hard do we work? Wherefore I labor. That speaks of quantity of work. But then the word striving. Agonizomai. Agonizing. According to His working. Here is God working through me. And He's doing it mightily. And consequently, I'm willing to agonize. In preaching and teaching and warning. And laboring. Now tell me. I'm not supposed to be in a position of leadership in the church. Is basically what he's saying. To the Colossians. Yes, I am in jail. But that doesn't disqualify me. I'm only there because of my association with Christ and you and His church. And that's a good thing. And I will do what I'm commissioned to do with everything that's in me. Would you want to follow a person who would be like that? Heck yeah. Yep. And Paul says, they may criticize me, but their criticisms aren't valid. Has anyone ever criticized you? Oh, you're a goody two-shoes. Oh, you think you're always right. Oh, you're so heavenly good, you're of no earthly value. You're holier than thou. Do you know what I say when people say that? Is that a problem with me or you?
Amen.
My holiness is imputed holiness.
Amen.
But is that a problem with me or is that a problem with you? And it's a problem with you that can be corrected. May we be like the Apostle Paul. Father, we thank you tonight for Paul's example to the Colossians and to us. Lord, he said to the Corinthians, be followers of me even as I am of Christ. But I think he said that to us just as well. And may it come true in our lives. May we be people who will suffer for the cause of Christ because of our association, our relationship with you and the church and the people of this world. For we have been commissioned to go out and to preach the gospel to all. May we do so with warning, with teaching, in wisdom, that we might present people perfect. May we labor to the point of exhaustion by agonizing through the effectual working of God in us and bring glory to your name just as Paul did. For you are the same God today as you were 2,000 years ago, and your work has not ceased. We thank you for what you have done, are doing, and yet will do in us and through us. We pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen.